And we'll start in Psalm 119, and we'll go and just touch a little bit of our brother's text this morning. Brother Giovanelli did such a great job of that. I'm telling you, you know what I think? I think you ought to get the messages from this morning. They were good. If you weren't here this morning, you need to get those messages. Go back and listen to them. But Luke chapter 10, Psalm 119. David, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. So David had a heart like unto God, or David was someone that was likened unto God, that God put his heart on him. So David was in high esteem with the Lord. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. God was able to pick his hand up and through his pen write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God did that with David. And yet David in Psalm 119, the Bible says in verse 32, he says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." David said, "Lord, I will run after your commandments. I am going to engage myself fully. I'm not going to walk after them. I'm not going to follow after them, but I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." So it seems to me that what David is saying is, "God, I want a larger heart. I want a heart that's been enlarged." One of the secrets they say about Secretariat, one of the greatest racehorses ever in history to ever run on a track. But when he died and they did the autopsy and they looked inside, his heart was twice the size of any other horse that they'd ever seen before. It was a huge heart. So what that enabled him to do when he got on the track, he was able to leave so many other horses behind and do things that a horse should not be able to do. Well, David here is saying, "Lord, I want you to enlarge my heart. I want you to give me a bigger heart." Now, he's not saying, "Lord, I'm going to enlarge my heart." He's saying, "Lord, when thou shalt enlarge my heart." That, "Lord, this is something I'm asking you to do for me. This is not something I can do in my own ability. This is not something that I feel adequate in doing. Lord, I know I'm the sweet psalmist of Israel. Lord, I do love you. The fellowship we've had on the backside of the wilderness, Lord, it's been sweet. And God, I've got a heart for you, but I want you to enlarge my heart." How many of you could say in your own prayerful heart, "I'd like to have that kind of heart as well. Lord, would you enlarge my heart? Would you make my heart bigger?" That kind of leads me, if you leave a mark in Psalm 119, go back to Luke 10 if you would now. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we saw this morning about the different ways that someone could become engaged and act and become actually involved in taking care of their neighbor. But that all started out when a question was asked in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said, look, the first commandment, the great commandment in Matthew 22, the first and great commandment is this: to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind. How many of you that are not going to hell, not one moment, one second in your life, think that he is worthy of our love? Would you say amen to that? I mean, I have a reason to love the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says, and thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, love thy neighbor as thyself. And really, my message tonight, it's not going to be long. It's really not going to be deep theologically. It's something God convicted me of last month when we were looking at missions. You know, in my mind, I think that loving the Lord with all your heart, the Bible says you could prove your love by what you give. So what we do as independent Baptists, we're really good at having a faith promise missions conference and saying, look, you need to sacrifice and you need to give. There are people in the world that are dependent on you holding that rope and you giving so that someone else may go. And we take and we emphasize that. We take faith promise cards and we pray over that. We make the giving to the cause of missions and reaching the regions beyond, we make that an emphasis. And we say, really, if you love the Lord, listen, you need to pray, ask Him what He'd have you to give, and you give according to that. And we do a good job at that. Or we say, look, if you're not going to send someone, then you need to go. You need to go to the field. So we talk and we really emphasize that as independent Baptists. We emphasize that you need to follow the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He calls you to go to Moldova, if He calls you to go to Nepal, if He calls you to go to Vietnam, if He calls you to go to Romania, wherever He calls you to go, if He calls you to go to South Dakota, if He calls you, wherever. God, if you've got my heart, then I'd be willing to go wherever you would want me to go. So we emphasize the going to please the Lord. All right, we love you, Lord, so we're going to give what we have to see that others go, and we're going to go ourselves. We're going to offer our sons and our daughters to you to use on a field somewhere. We're really good at that. But I don't think that we're really good at the last part of verse 27, and that is loving thy neighbor as ourself. I don't think we're good at that. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I don't believe that. There's a large church in our town, Southern Baptist Church, about 2,000 people there. And there are people that have left our church and gone to that church. And so a couple of really good men that I eat breakfast with about once a week go to that church. And they said, one of them said, preacher, he said, I want you to come with me. I want you to see the secret of our success as a church. I said, what's that? He said, we got a prayer meeting. He said, I'll come by and I'll pick you up at 5:30 and we'll go pray. So 6 o'clock in the morning, I met probably about 40 men, Southern Baptist. And we got in this room, pastor showed up, and we had a prayer meeting. But the way they did their prayer meeting, they started around the room and they introduced themselves. And I thought, well, here I am. This is definitely going to make news. I'm at the Southern Baptist Church down here saying, well, my name is Joel Logan. I pastored this church. And I'm going to tell you what I noticed that evening or that morning. Over half of those men, when they made a request, they would say, I want y'all to pray for, and they'd give a person's name, John. I've been talking to John now for several weeks. His family is in a mess, and I'm really hoping that God will help me to be able to reach him. And he'd go to the next guy. And I'm saying, listen, over half of the requests in that room that morning were for somebody else. I've been in a lot of prayer meetings. We've prayed for a lot of things, and I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for anything. We probably need to pray so much more. Brother Paul, not less, we need to pray more. But they were saying, would you pray that I may be able to reach these people? And one of those men that I eat with, here's his testimony. He went to that church. He went to that church as a guest, and when he went to that church as a guest, he walked in the door. This is his testimony. He said, I walked in the door, and he said, this guy came up to me and said, welcome to our church. And he said, hey, just want you to know, I love you. And he said, you what? He said, I love you. He said, I left that night thinking, why did that guy say that to me? This is a prominent businessman in Greenville, South Carolina. He goes home and he thinks, why did that guy tell me he loved me? So he waited a little while and he went back. And then he went back. And his testimony is he got born again right there at that church. But the reason that he went back is he couldn't get it out of his mind, this guy meeting him at the door and saying, hey, welcome to our church, and by the way, I love you. You know, I don't think we probably have to worry too much about people saying that about the way we operate. And I'm telling you, God convicted me of this. I'm thinking, okay, God, we do a great job in going and giving. That's what we do. We go and we give, but do we really love other people? Is that something I really do? Now, I'm not saying we know we ought to love the brethren. I mean, look, we even know that's in the Bible, and we still try to step around that verse. Amen. Well, I would love him if he did this. And Lord, I would love her, but she's really hard to love. But we know that we're supposed to love one another. That's scripture. All right, but here the passage is about loving thy neighbor, and lest you think I'm stretching. Jesus gives this parable about a man who is a Samaritan, an outcast that sees a man on the road that he does not know. There is no connection. This man, as far as we know, has no connection to this Samaritan. And yet this Samaritan, he gives the illustration of loving his neighbor because of his actions toward this man. And I would just say this to all of us tonight. How many of you think this man that had fell among thieves, that was stripped, that was wounded and left half dead, how many of you think that if we ask him, hey, could you give a little testimony? How many of you think he'd say, well, I want to thank God for being a gracious God, but I sure do appreciate that Samaritan over there loving me enough to stop and take a look at my life. Now, I'm not preaching something that I think I'm good at tonight, so this isn't in a rebukal way. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I'm just saying I think we're good at giving and going. I just don't think we're good at loving. And you know what we can do a lot of times with that, we can take and we can maybe dispensationalize that. So if you would, go over to Leviticus just a minute.
That's for the Jews in the tribulation.
Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. All right, so we're in the Old Testament. We're in the book of Moses, the law, okay? Something God gave for his people who were to be a witness to the other people in the land that came especially and traveled through the nation of Israel. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Exactly what he said in Acts chapter 1. Here's what he says in Leviticus chapter 19. Look at verse number 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So he says you need to love your neighbor as yourself. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. That's Old Testament. Okay, so we've seen it in the New Testament. Go, if you would, again to Matthew chapter 5 now. Let's go to Matthew 5, the Gospels. Jesus Christ comes, and in the book of Matthew, he speaks much about loving thy neighbor. He speaks about it in Matthew 19:19. He speaks about it in Matthew 22. But in Matthew chapter 5, the very first time that the word love occurs in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, the Gospels now, verse number 45, look what the Bible says. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? Verse number 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. First time the verse occurs, verse 43. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. So Jesus, the first time he uses the word love, he uses it in context with loving your neighbor. And then he defines it, verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies. So Jesus Christ is using, again, the same thing. We see it in the Gospels. We see it in the Old Testament. Love thy neighbor. All right, let's look at it in Paul's writing then. We want to get to those dispensational epistles that are for the church. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, Paul writing to the church at Rome. The book of theology for the church is the book of Romans. Verse number 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, in Paul's writings, look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. You say, preacher, where are we going? We're looking in the Bible at a principle that I think I come up short on. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, a book written to people who believed in legalism, which means that they added the law to what Christ's works were to be born again. That's something that we don't do. But now, Paul writes these people, Galatians chapter 5. Look what the Bible says in verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. I need to stop there. We have liberty. But how, you know, a lot of people that claim to have liberty, they always forget to quote the rest of that. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You have liberty, but you don't have liberty to take an occasion with the flesh. Amen. 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 Now, that being said, verse 14, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we've seen it in the Gospels. We've seen it in the Old Testament. We've seen it in the Pauline epistles. How about the general epistles? James chapter 2. I'm biting my tongue. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do what? Now, I've tried to show you in the Bible, that's a principle in the Bible. Jesus said it was the second commandment, that it was like unto the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind, thy strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. So Jesus, and the Bible is clear, I need to love my neighbor. And we heard about who that was today, and we heard about how to do that. I want to get you to look at one other thing here. Luke chapter 10. I need to love my neighbor then. All right, so then he gives the story of the Good Samaritan. You're in Luke chapter 10. And the Bible says in verse 33, when a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, when I read verse 34, and I look at that, he went to him. Well, that takes time. He bound up his wounds. Well, that takes time. He poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. That takes time. And he took care of him. That takes time. And I'm going to say this. I believe in my part in not fulfilling this idea of loving my neighbor as myself, that one of my problems with that is the word time. That I've got so many other things that I've got to do, I don't have time to go to someone else. In fact, I would say this, most of the time when people say, I can't come to visitation tonight, it's because they have a conflict in their time. When somebody says, hey, look, preacher, I don't have time to go by and see that family. I wanted to this week, but I just didn't have time. Time, if you're going to love somebody, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. It's not going to take money. Come on, ladies, help me out. Would you rather have your... this is a dangerous question. Would you rather have your husband drop $1,000 on the table and say, hey, have a great week? Or would you rather him spend time with you? You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. Well, here's what I'd say. Probably you wouldn't be sitting next to that lady if you just said, hey, I'll drop $100 here and there. I'll never see any time. I won't see you at all. I'll just call you every now and then. You probably wouldn't have had the words I do said. Amen. We can't, listen, I am not against giving them. I believe in giving to faith promise. I believe we ought to give our children, give ourselves. We ought to go. We ought to send a substitute. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe there's a reason the church down the road has 2,000 people in it in Greenville, South Carolina. It's because they spend time loving people. Now, I know for our crowd, that's compromise. But you've seen the Bible. That's not compromise. That's scripture. And it takes time to do that. And it takes more time than going out and doing that token, act of love, that one thing. This man, look what he did. He went, he bound him, he poured oil in, he set him, he brought him, he took care of him. And then the Bible says, and on the morrow, spent the evening, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I'm going to come back again. He's spending time. He's investing his time. And listen, that is an enemy to loving other people. Here's what I think. I think it is easier for us to watch that plate go by, and after we pray and say, oh God, how much would you like me to give? And write down a large number and drop that in the plate and think, hey, I've done my job. It's a whole lot easier to do that than it is to go out there and love somebody that's not like you. It's easier to get excited about some young man saying, hey, I'm going to go to the Philippines. I'm going to give my life for Christ. It's easier to pray, God, send us, send laborers into the harvest than it is to go out there and take time with people. Now, I think there's a couple of other enemies, too, loving your neighbor as yourself. How many would agree with me? You probably can't love your neighbor as yourself if you love pleasure a lot. If you love pleasure, it's going to be hard to love your neighbor as yourself. It's going to be hard to do that. If you love pleasure, if you're given to pleasure, and again, I know this needs to be an encouraging message, how many of you think Americans are given to loving pleasure? How about if you love yourself? You think it'd be hard to love others if you love yourself? So if I'm in love with myself, which is what the world's telling you, you need to love yourself. You need to do good to yourself. You need to spend time on yourself. Look, come on. Hey, how many of you guys think all the ladies here spent a lot of time before they came here getting ready? I'm not asking the men that are married. Man, they got to get this thing done, curl this thing, do this thing, do all that. And look, there's nothing wrong. I'm glad you look pretty. Some of y'all are looking at me real mean right now, man. Spending time with your... Look, I want to look right. How many of you ladies think a bunch of these young guys in college around here spend a lot of time getting that one right and this one right? What I'm trying to say is we spend a lot of time on ourselves. We spend a lot of time when we could be doing something else. Last night, I can't explain how I felt last night. Going next door and going to sit with friends and sit with family and enjoy a good meal after hearing a message about if somebody just would have done their job, God wouldn't have killed an entire city in one evening. And I felt like I had to go out and find some people somewhere. So I went to this emergency room and looked for people to talk to, and went to this emergency room and looked for people to talk to, and then went to the bus station and looked for people to talk to, because in my heart, I'm at a missions conference and I'm supposed to preach about reaching the world, but I'm so busy making phone calls and so busy doing administrative work and so busy taking care of all these things at the church, and my time is full of this and so many things that I need to get done, but I'm not spending any time touching somebody out there. Lord, I love you with all my heart. I'll give. And Lord, we want to see somebody going. You know, I think I can hear the Lord saying back, and yet, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to love somebody out there as well. But it's going to take you some time. It's going to take you some time. When I think about that, I thought about a couple other things. If you'll turn just a few other passages and we'll be finished. Go to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans 5, I thought, well, God, then what I need to do is I need to convince myself that I need to love people. I need to get out there and I need to do something to let them know that I love them. I somehow need to work that up. Remember, we started in Psalm 119, Lord, enlarge my heart. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, look at verse number 5. Great passage. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How many of you think that Jesus Christ loves sinners? Yes. Come on, do you believe that Jesus Christ loved the world? Yes. He loved the world and gave himself for it. Don't let somebody take that truth away from you. Jesus Christ loved the world. He loved sinners. All right, so if Jesus loved sinners, the Bible says in Romans 5 that the love of God, that same love, and we're in the right passage, chapter 5, We're in the passage where Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you know what I think I need? I need the help of the Holy Ghost to shed the love of God in my heart is what I need. Here I am, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, but I'm going to tell you what I believe I need in 2017. I need the Holy Ghost of God to shed God's love in my heart. So that I don't sit down in some certain, look, sitting down somewhere, crossing your legs, kumbaya, and saying, God, I will love people. I will love people. Going to the seminar about having to love people probably is not going to get it done. But I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Ghost starts stirring around in your heart and my heart, if God starts changing me on the inside, there's a good possibility I'll start loving them the way He loves them. And that's hard. Listen, it is hard for me to understand that. We were raised in such a good home. I had such a good mom, such a good dad, taken to church from when I was a child. I didn't rub shoulders with the filth of the world. And now we've got a children's home. And, you know, you have children come into your home and mother is a drug addict and nobody knows who dad is. And the little boy, when he's born, he has to go into the hospital to try to help the drug problem that he's already inherited from his mother. And then he gets a little older and DSS moves him away and he comes into our home and he's there. And listen, all he knows, he goes home and he sees a mother strung out on drugs. There's nobody there to call dad. The place is a wreck and a filthy place to live. People come in and out. We've got kids that are in our home. They don't know who their dad is. All they know is there's nothing but sin and darkness. And you know what? Me growing up in a home like I grew up in, like many of you grew up in, we don't know that really exists out there. But boy, if you ever see that out there, and you ever think about living like that? That's why. Are you listening to me? Listen, not just time, but love thy neighbor as what? Come on. Yes. Love thy neighbor as what? Yes. If we would put ourselves in their shoes, it would sure make a whole lot more difference to our lives. The love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. I need His help then. I need His help so my heart will be enlarged so I can make the difference that I ought to make. Look at it again at another place in Galatians chapter 5. Would you turn there? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. We know the works of the flesh that are manifest, which are these, and we get the long list, and then we get the contrast. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, can you say the next word? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's at the top of the list. All right, is that my fruit or is that His fruit? Is that the Holy Ghost fruit in my life or is that me and my determination and my character? I'm going to tell you what that is. That's the Holy Ghost doing something in me that I can't do in myself. Amen. So the fruit of the Holy Ghost being that of love, all right? That of love, joy, peace, and the long list after that. But love is something. It's something that is a product of the Holy Spirit working in my life. It's not something I can get by looking at page after page of people that are underprivileged, that live in darkness. It's something that the Spirit of God works in me. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you, I need Him to do that work in my life. I need that. I need that. Or it's just going to be easy to keep writing that check and saying, Lord, please send laborers into the harvest and never touch anybody outside those four walls. Look at it one more time, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes to, I think, probably the greatest church in the Bible, the church of Ephesus. And as he writes to this church, he says in verse 16 that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying that God would do a work inside them by His Spirit. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So, he says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, being rooted and grounded in love. And verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Tonight, man, we're singing and rejoicing. Good night. I thought my brother was going to get up and run right out of the building. Arise, my love. Man, we're singing about the Lord. I mean, we're rejoicing because of what He's done in our life. We love Him because He first loved us. I'm getting that connection this evening. But how many of you believe that He also loves the folks that are outside these doors that are on the street that fill up? Listen, and I'll say this. Jesus Christ loves more than the snotty-nosed kid that lives in a trailer. He loves people that live in a $500,000 house and $2 million houses. He loves them just as much as He loves those kids as well. All right, and if He loves them and Christ, if Christ, again, look what He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So if Christ is in me, how many of you would agree with me? If Christ is in me, do you think that I would love other people more than I do right now? So the things that crowd in there, loving myself, loving pleasure, loving this world. If you love the world, the Bible says the love of the Father not going to dwell in you. So I know there's some things I've got to push out. But I've been doing that since I was a little boy. I've been told not to love the world. I've been told, listen, I've been taught it's wrong to love that vice, to love that pleasure. So I've been taught, push those things out. But it's not enough to push all that out. What I need is to push that out, but then to give room for the Holy Ghost of God to work in my heart to make me what I'm not, so I can do what I need to be doing to help reach the world. Psalm 119, will you go back? I'm finished. Now, I told you, I just feel like I'm not good at this. Maybe you are. I'm not. I think about the way I've raised my children. Are they good at that? Do they love people? Do they care? Do they show it? Do they spend the time? Do they love people that are dirty? Do they love people that are filthy? Do they love people that have tattoos up and down their body? Do they love people that... Verse 32. Psalm 119, I will run the way of thy commandments. You know, we're looking at the commandment right now, this week, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. I'll run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I can just hear David, God, please, you're going to have to enlarge my heart. And that's what I would leave you with tonight. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Giving, going, loving. Lord, we thank you for the night, the privilege to get to stand and preach in this pulpit. And Lord, not trying to change the way we do things or try to correct anybody's theology. But Lord, just knowing my own heart how busy I am. How hard it is for me to really spend much time out there in the world and try to touch somebody's life and get behind that door and get inside that life. And Lord, I know that, Lord, it's good to give, it's good to go, but I know you want us to love. Lord, you said it throughout your scripture. And I pray you'd help us to see that's part of fulfilling the commandment to reach the world with the gospel. That there's got to be a love, and that love is not my ability to create, but it's something you can help create in me. If I can just get the stuff out, then maybe you can do that great work in my heart to change what I am and help me to cast my heart on a sin-filled world of people living in darkness, headed to hell without hope and without God. In Jesus' name.